Blog Talk Radio.
From the Plains, Virginia. We'll be here through the end of the month of June, and there's no telling where we're going to take the Norm at Night show, though. It'll probably spend most of the summer in Bowie, Maryland, where the show originated from. A lot of stuff to talk about tonight. A lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, the election that is going on, but in New York State, right in Norm's former home district, the place where the family homestead is, just outside of Buffalo, New York. But first, we got to open up a chat room. Here we go. The chat room is opening. And there's nobody here yet. But Norm is in the room. Norm is in the room. So let's see what's going on in New York State. This should be kind of interesting. Actually, I don't want to do that. Just go right to Buffalo News and see the result yet. Let's just see what's. I don't want Sports Buffalo. And Hochul takes a seat, gets 48% of the vote. Wow. Gee, holy mackerel. A Democrat holds the seat in New York State. That seat's just been like Republican like forever. Very cool. I think I'm still on. I'm not sure what's going on here. Holy cow, please hold off on your calls for the time being. I'm just trying to figure out where exactly. Let's You know, I'm trying to use Google Chrome tonight, and I'm trying to use Google Chrome. Let's try this, see what happens. I don't know. On the air or not. Every week something different, and some school end time, okay, what's the password now? There we go. We go to the switchboard. Not in the air, but we'll see in a minute. Very computer. Yeah, it looks like we're on the air. Sure enough. Yes, we still are. We got five lines open. 347-945-6713 is the number. And do we already have a chat room open? That's the big question. I think we should have, but I'm not positive. And let's just see. Looks like I'm opening another. Hey, Colt, you're on. If you can hear me, say something in the chat room. Oh, it says I can hear you fine. Well, that's great. Everything seems to be going on well. So the political news this day is what's going on in the northern suburbs of Buffalo, New York. Holy mackerel. A seat that hasn't been held by a Democrat in forever and a day is now being held by a Democrat. Kathy Hochul gets elected with 48% of the vote. The Republican gets 42%. Excuse me. The wacko libertarian, whatever he is, he got 9%. So I guess you could say he may have cost the Republicans the election, and then there's some other person coming in with 1% of the vote. But that's a real Democrats take a seat that they haven't held in my lifetime, that's for sure. In fact, that's the seat that Jack Kemp held. Wow, that old quarterback for the Buffalo Bills. So what do you think about that? Give us a call. 945-671. We got five lines open. So what do you think about the Democrats being in control of that Williamsville, New York congressional district? The county clerk of Erie County has pulled a major political upset. Hot damn. One of Representative Boehner's majority. He's one seat closer to having to move out of the Speaker of the House's office. I can't wait for that day. Hey, we got the Colt coming in. Go ahead, Colt. You're on with Norm. I'm real happy right now.
I can tell. You're savoring this victory, aren't you?
Oh, God, you have no idea. Finally, a Democrat in Williamsville, New York.
Hmm. Well, you just beat Paladino, last November? I mean, geez. And there was that other upset, the one in, the one further upstate.
Oh, yes, that the one on Lake Ontario.
Yeah, yeah. So
another woman, though. It's always a woman. The days of fat white men are over.
Oh, okay. Oh, I can live with that. I sort of feel like a dinosaur these days anyway, so what the hell, you know.
Yeah, well, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
Gosh. June 30th, you know, I'll join the ranks of the unemployed.
Yeah. So you decided to look for other work or just decided to give it up or what?
I'm looking for other work.
Okay. Well, that's cool.
No,
yeah.
I gotta keep working, you know. Still got my daughter officially, daughter number two, officially became a college senior today.
Ooh, yeah.
Daughter number one has been a senior for about 5 years.
Huh.
Hmm. I mean, that's a gross exaggeration, but no, she's finding her niche, and I'm happy for her, but
mm-hmm.
Changed majors a few times, and that's all right.
Yeah. Well, you know, I...
No, I give her credit.
Well, you know,
she
can't
thought
say...
about being a pharmacist, though she actually passed the farm tech exam when she worked in pharmacy and said, I'm not doing this for the rest of my life.
Well... It's not exciting work, but it is, you know.
Oh, no, but she, you know, and I give her credit. She didn't like it.
Mm.
And she still does it.
I
she
know.
She works full time, but,
yeah,
you know.
Well, you know. I mean, but, you know, it's selling drugs, but you don't have to worry about the guns. And
oh, my God. I never thought of it in that way.
Well,
selling drugs and you don't have to worry about the government.
But, I mean, no, I said guns.
Oh.
You know. Well, let's face it, prescription drugs kill more people than anything.
You know, you won't get an argument from me. I haven't taken many in my life.
Yeah.
I don't even like to take my gout medicine.
Oh, really? Oh, that's right. You told me about that. Yeah. Yeah, well, so much of that stuff can really take a toll on your, you know, vital organs, liver, kidneys, whatnot, you know.
Absolutely.
For a lot of people, it's you know, I mean, you have to, you know, metabolize it.
Yeah, right. Boy, have we become old men.
Mm-hmm.
Sitting here talking about our livers metabolizing our drugs.
Yeah, well, I'm just glad all those organs are still working at this age. You know?
After some of those days at Crystal Beach, that's a miracle in itself.
Oh, yeah, you know. I always think of, Dane Cook used to have a routine about when he was drinking and doing a lot of drugs and that, and he said, I went to the bathroom, my liver was trying to escape out my ass.
Oh.
he said it was this gray shriveled thing hanging out there, and it just screamed at him, please let me die.
Oh, God. My liver was probably ready to give up the ghost a few of those Labor Day weekends.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, especially like, you know, like Labor Day was like, you know.
Oh, my God. Nobody believes me when I tell them those. I'm not sure I believe them anymore.
Yeah, well, just the sheer quantity was just, and 4 days straight, you know, and practically not sleeping, I mean, except for the occasional booze snooze, but, you know.
Yeah. Booze snooze. So, speaking of, are all your issues working themselves out?
My issues?
Yeah.
Which issues were those?
The trips to the doctor?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I've dropped to 185, 186.
Really?
Yeah, the diet thing is not doing, you know, doing pretty good. Yeah, I'm limiting myself on the cocktails, of course, and you know, the main thing was, you know, I gave up, you know, it's like I'm acutely aware of the whole carbohydrate sugar thing, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm not eating as, you know, like breakfast, all the, you know, the pastries, the donuts, the muffin, all that. Yeah, I just don't eat that at all. And, you know, and then, of course, I'm eating more veggies, you know, salads and stuff like that. So even though, like, a lot of times I'll make up a salad and I'll throw in, like, a pound of cubed ham and, you know, and cheese and all that. But then that's the whole meal, you know. But these things aren't heavy in carbohydrates. Again, you know, there's fat and there's protein, you know. But somehow the fat is not as much of a problem as the carbohydrates. So anyway, yeah, I haven't tested my sugar level. Well, let me think. You know, it's been about maybe a week and a half, but it is down. I'm down to 260 now, which is still bad, but you know, but it's not 280. So what the hell? So that's about, you know, that's about it.
Yeah, they say you lose weight and it's like a miracle.
Yeah, well, that's kind of what I'm hoping for, you know. See, I can probably do the weight and diet thing better than any other thing, you know. Because from what I've heard of the drugs, they aren't really all that, you know, effective, you know. Because you have to do all the other stuff in addition to the diet, you know. I mean, that's like, you know, what the hell. So I kind of doubt the what is it, the word, efficacy.
Oh, it's a big word on the Norman Night Show.
Oh, that's not a big word.
Hey, speaking of which, we've gone over the 30,000 listener mark.
Oh my, oh wow. Who are these people?
No, JR, I don't care. But all you guys out there, you know, now that I'm going unemployed, if you want to just, you know, put $1 a month in an envelope, I'll give you just, you know, I'm going to get a post office box and you can start sending funds to, you know what?
Mm.
You want to hear the greatest scam in America?
Oh, well, you should at least give people like, you know, like prayers or something.
No. Run for political office.
Oh, well, yeah. Yeah, that's probably one of the best things out there.
You can do anything you want with the money. It's not taxable.
Oh, yeah. Well, Newt Gingrich is making a ton of money off this, and he doesn't have a prayer in hell. I mean, I just don't see us voting for somebody like him. I mean, even Republicans, they got to be.
What?
Yeah, I don't know who.
You know, Norm wanted to say this, you know, just so everybody understands, everybody's talking about, you know, who's your guy, the leader, the guy from Massachusetts. The Mormon. Now, I can't think of his name.
Oh, Romney.
Romney. Yeah, George was his father. Mitch. Mitch Romney, is that his name?
Yeah.
Why,
George, his nickname was Mitt. I don't know how he got that name, but, you know. But he was governor of Michigan.
Right, the father.
Mm-hmm, right.
The son is governor of Massachusetts, but everybody talks about his health care plan and, you know, how he's trying to, you know, pretend he didn't do it.
Right, right.
He just misses the boat on it. If I was him, I would say, yeah, you're damn right we did it. And we did it at the state level, and it worked. And we need to keep the damn federal government out of it.
Well, that's exactly what he is saying.
No, he's not. He's trying
yes, he is.
He's trying to hide from it.
Well,
he
doesn't really want to talk about it, but when he does talk about it, he explains it exactly the way you do.
He should be talking about it.
It doesn't work well with the base.
Well, you know what? Should be talking about it.
Yeah, I find there are some things about the Republican Party I don't quite understand, especially in the South. You know, especially in states that have, you know, that are exceptionally poor. You know, let's say Arkansas, Mississippi, Alabama. You know, why they consistently vote for Republicans? Because it's absolutely not in their interest.
Back.
But you know, but they do it every time. You know.
Well, they want to put slavery. Well, I shouldn't say.
I don't know what the hell they want, you know. I mean, as much as I absolutely enjoyed my time in Mississippi and love the people, and Louisiana was exactly the same way, you know. But there was something different, you know. I mean, the race thing, the way we thought about race and this and that, there was a huge cultural gap, you know, between what I thought.
Did you just hear that noise, or is that just something in my computer?
I didn't hear any special noise.
All right.
Did it sound like a fart?
No, I think it's the speakers on my computer.
Oh, maybe it was a computer fart. I don't know, something like that.
Anyway, hey, if you want to join in this conversation, and at least my celebration on Kathy Hochul's victory in New York, you can give us a call at 347-945-6713. Here we go. One seat back. One more Democrat in the House of Representatives. Don't be getting comfortable in that office, Speaker Boehner.
Mm-hmm.
Don't be getting too comfortable.
Yeah, well, we'll see how. Oh, go ahead.
I'm sure there's still hints of Speaker Pelosi's perfume around there.
She couldn't
on the way back.
Yeah, well, you know, I've had MSNBC on for a while. They have Michael Moore on now for, I don't know why.
On the Ed Show?
I think it's the Lawrence O'Donnell show, you know.
Oh, that's right. You're 3 hours behind. You're in the 8 o'clock hour.
Yeah, but I did catch some of Rachel Maddow, and I had some of Ed Schultz, and you know, I mean, these people, they're just creaming their pants over this thing. There isn't a dry seat in that whole studio, man. They are just into it.
easy with the metaphors.
What's that?
I say easy with the metaphors.
Oh, all right, yes. Well, creaming is
easy.
Foaming. I don't know what. I guess there's no polite way to express that.
Pretty happy tonight.
She'll go
home and give her girlfriend a hug.
Don't go there. She'll make a cocktail for her.
I guess there was a time when just even the mention of Rachel Maddow, I couldn't stand her, but I've actually started to like her again.
I've always liked her, and I don't quite understand why you don't, other than you don't like her neck,
She has no neck.
I understand that. But well,
that's just glued to her shoulders.
Yeah, well, she's a little bit beefy, but...
Her body shape is changing to a blade.
Yeah, but it's not like she's not on steroids or something. She's feminine enough. I mean, I understand her sexual persuasion
The only person that was more prejudiced for Barack Obama and tried to pretend they weren't than Rachel Maddow was Chris Matthews.
Oh, yeah, yeah. See, now, what was her name? Ann Coulter. I know she's... Now, there's a woman that,
Ann Coulter's kind of interesting. Yeah.
Yeah. Now, she described Chris Matthews as a lesbian gym teacher. I thought that was incredibly funny, but... Inappropriate, but funny.
Yeah, a lot of stuff. Well, anyway. But Norman Knight's still looking for a job. If you want progressive technology education, just call the show.
Yeah, we'll give it to you.
I am available. You want to make your business or your school a Google Education or a Google Business, you call Norm. I know how to do it.
Oh, yeah. You're in the cloud, are you?
Oh, I am so in the cloud. But anyway, we about 2 minutes left in tonight's show. And so, but yes, we're over the 30,000 mark. It's just been... The last 4 months have just been astounding.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's just starting to spiral. And, I'm not the smoothest guy with all my technical aspects of the show. And maybe that's why people like it. I'm not a suit.
Yeah, you're raw.
Yeah, raw.
Maybe that
we're
going to change your name, Norman Knight Raw.
Actually, I've been thinking about doing some special editions, Norm in the Morning or Norm at Noon.
Oh.
But I am intending to go. Premium starting July 1st.
Yeah, when I logged in this time, a couple of ads came up, asking me to, for money, right, And I think the premium one was about $39.95 a month or something like that.
Yeah, I think if that's $29.99, I don't know. We'll see. I definitely will have to have a job. Unless I just decide to take it 5 days a week.
Well, I don't know. Is it viable? I mean, as a business type thing. I mean,
once I get the current situation shut down, and I can spend some time and think about it and explore it, you get a couple dollars and all of a sudden things are all right.
Yeah. Well, my, the newspaper I worked at here just did another series of layoffs, 44 people. And a couple of my friends got hit on that one. So.
Are they going to go down?
I suspect the, well, you got to remember, McClatchy is the third largest newspaper chain in the country.
And
at the moment,
we're no longer live, but we are being recorded.
Yeah, it's, you know, I mean, at the present, it's valued as a penny stock. And I suspect that it's going to be a couple more years, but when the big debt payment comes, which is in 2017, they may go down just before that. You know, I just don't see the revenue is not there. I mean, they're going to barely make the interest payments on their debt and also fund the pension. See, the pension is a big deal for them as well. They've actually had to give their buildings, their property, to the pension fund. And even then, they're only funding it up to maybe 76%, I think was the last thing I read on that. So yeah, I really think, you know, newspapers, with the exception of a very few, newspapers are just history. You know, you had a few more years left, but you know, but they're pretty much gone. I mean, you should see the newspaper I get. I mean, I still subscribe, right? You know, and I get this tiny little paper. It's so small. It's just barely worth it anymore. And it's just sad. I mean, to read it, you know, half the stuff is, you know, half the stuff I read on Yahoo the day before. You know, this is not new.
No, I mean, that's the problem.
Yeah, if you're going to have content, it has to be vital and new and different. And it can't just be AP stories, you know?
Or the newspaper has to become something different. Kind of a cross between the weekly news magazine. I think if the newspaper's going to have a future, it's as a vehicle of a just every day.
Yeah. See, my ideal, you know, which is like really old, but back in the 90s, or let's say early 2000, they had the opportunity to make themselves into a hub of all of the cultural life of their community and political and, you know, everything, the information centers. And if they had done that, which would have taken, you know, significant investment in their website and making all these links and making all these contracts, you know, with every bar, every art gallery, every restaurant, you know, then they would have been vital. But they didn't do that. They still, you know, we're talking old-timers. Old-timers, you know, they still believe in newsprint, and that's the way it is. So since they didn't do that, other people have picked up. I mean, you know, let's face it, you know.
Is it too late for them?
Well, I think they could still do it, but I don't know that they have the capital anymore.
Well, you know, it's really interesting. The Buffalo News has sort of done that.
Yeah, there have been a few papers that did some interesting things. I think in Philadelphia, for example, all of their writers were required to have a webcam, and they had to do a 3-minute spiel about whatever. Every single day.
It's interesting. That's exactly what they do on the Buffalo News site.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that kind of thing works. you know.
And I started thinking, my God, can people still read in Buffalo?
Well, reading and spelling, I don't know if you've noticed, but at least as far as the web is concerned, and even cable television, spelling is not a requirement, not by any means.
All right, well, hey, let's take this up next week, the future of newspapers. That'll be fun. I just couldn't resist. I had to be talking about the election. In fact, who knows, I got a feeling I could carry this well into the summer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, you know, I mean, the fireworks don't really start till next year. Of course, let's face it, we don't have a budget yet, and the year is nearly over.
Well,
and
you
haven't started on a budget for next year.
I'm not going to let that pass. The budget, okay, this whole idea of a budget, there's nothing in the freaking Constitution about a budget.
Right, right.
There's never been a budget for the government of the United States until quite recently. The Budget Act was passed in... was Nixon's administration.
Yeah, well, he was about the first guy to get really concerned about debt.
Nixon?
Yeah, because unfortunately he...
Except for yapping about it, lip service with the debt, ever.
Well, okay, I'm not saying that they did much of anything.
Reagan,
but
only,
many of the decisions he
the
made really sucked.
The only president who created more debt than Ronald Reagan was George W. Bush.
Yeah, I understand
the
that.
The two of them, you know, these guys, they created the thing, and now they're trying to blame it on poor Barack. And remember, when you talk about unemployment with Barack Obama, 85% of his unemployment he got from George W. Bush.
Well, I'm not going to debate that with you. You had a period in the 60s of overspending and a war, which accounted for much of the overspending. And then Nixon came in, and he had to deal with the high unemployment and the inflation and all the rest of that. And he made numerous mistakes along the line, too. Till finally that culminated into an incredible crisis around the time of Jimmy Carter. Now, then you had the Reagan era, and Reagan, regardless of what everyone says, he essentially pursued a Keynesian solution of spending more and more and more, and it's been like that ever since. And it hasn't mattered who's been in office.
Not ever saw, bite your tongue. Billy Clinton not only balanced the budget, he ran surpluses.
Yes, I know he ended up at the end with the surplus, but, you know, it
took George Bush 1 year to use that up.
But it was nominal compared to the problems that he had.
If Republicans ever ran a dollar surplus, he would be like a founding father resurrected.
But it was a brief affair. I mean, we're not talking about a guy who was a fiscal conservative for 8 years, because he wasn't that.
Who?
Clinton.
Right, he came in at those huge Republican deficits from Reagan and George Bush, and it took him 8 years, and he ran the last budget surplus in U.S. history.
Oh, I'm certainly cognizant of that event.
It was a blip
on the screen. I'm looking at the past 40 years, regardless of what party was in power. And it hasn't made, you know, that little blip didn't make a whole lot of difference.
and they don't need a budget to raise the debt ceiling.
Right,
they don't
well.
Need permission to raise the debt ceiling.
Well,
the government has to meet its obligations.
Right, right. But let's put it this way. If you don't raise the debt ceiling.
Yeah.
And if you present or pretty much create a situation where U.S. currency is no longer the fiat, where it's no longer the world standard currency, or let's say you even injure it, you know, just to make it less desirable, you could end up with an incredible loss in this country. In other words, our standard of living could decline anywhere from 15 to 20%.
The standard of living of most Americans is declining right now.
Oh, well, it's been declining for a very long time.
Oh,
I mean,
God,
next
week, I'm getting the word that I gotta shut down here. And I'm sorry I wasn't here last week. I meant to apologize for that on the air.
Yeah, I wondered where you were.
What
I didn't
happened,
see anything scheduled, so you know.
Right, I missed when I was making the schedule. I missed that day on the calendar when I was clicking. It's all I figured out.
Mm-hmm.
But anyway, I'm back, and I'm going to bed, because I do have to get up at 5 o'clock.
Ooh, God, that's a hateful hour. I couldn't do that.
All right.
I get
well,
up at 6, though. I can deal with 6 o'clock.
Okay.
The sun's out, and the cats are meowing, and, you know.
Yeah, well, the cats always want to eat.
Yeah, well, they come over, and they start pounding on my head.
Right, oh, I know. When I'm in Bowie where the cats are, that's exactly what happens.
Yeah, it's like, hey, you wake up. We want to eat, and we want the door open, and we want fresh water, and blah, blah, blah. They have a list.
Absolutely. Anyway, we'll see you next week, and I am out of here.
Okay, man, you take care. Talk to you next week.
Bye-bye. Talk to you
bye-bye.
Next week. Bye.
Bye.